That'll be on the Wednesday after that, when we talk once again about science, the question of war, peace, and the environment. Good evening.
The Gay Show here on WBAI is heard every other Sunday night. Hi, I'm Larry Gutenberg. Join me along with Marl Becker, Alan Ross, Bob Storm, and Thomas Glave, plus the commentaries of Rick X and Kurt Wolf right here on WBAI. It's called The Gay Show. You'll hear the reviews, the interviews, and the hard news of the gay lesbian community, alternating Sunday nights with GLIB's own Outlooks program. So every Sunday night, be listening for gay lesbian information right here on WBAI New York, New York. The Gay Show, alternating Sunday nights at 7:30 p.m. The information you need to stay proud.
And this is WBAI New York. It's 9 o'clock, time for Off the Hook. And a very good evening to everybody. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. The program is Off the Hook. And tonight, once again, we're going to be talking about freedom of speech and how that relates to the electronic world, the world of bulletin boards and things like that, and whether or not if it possibly conflicts with the world of bulletin boards and all that. Stay tuned. We've heard it happen many times before in the past with the case of computer hackers and various other people that have done some rather, well, I don't want to say objectionable things, but just things that the government might not understand. And computer hacking is certainly one thing that the government does not understand, but it's not the only thing. And I want to stress that the weeks that we are here together talking about the various woes of computer hackers, well, it doesn't just affect the people who play with computers. It affects everybody in the long term, and I think tonight we're going to prove that in a rather scary way. This is the story of Robert Thomas, who is a system operator of a bulletin board out in the Bay Area in California. And let me read to you, before we start speaking with Mr. Thomas himself, something that was posted on The Well, which is a public Unix system out in the Bay Area. Robert Thomas is the system operator of a bulletin board known as Amateur Action. In addition, Thomas runs several businesses out of his home where he lives with his wife and children. One is some sort of satellite deal, one is electronics repair, and one is the bulletin board. And because of the physical setup, either he or his wife are always watching the system in real time. Now this is the story. On the morning of January 20th, at 7:30 a.m., that was incidentally Martin Luther King Day, he and his family were rousted from bed by 5 to 7 officers of the San Jose Police Department. He doesn't remember whether they had guns drawn or not. He does remember them shining flashlights into his kid's room. Eventually, they got permission to shut the front door and put some clothes on. The warrant allowed the seizure of any computer equipment on the premises. It was signed by Judge Charles W. Hyden, and the warrant was for grand theft, bringing obscene matter into state, and distributing slash possession of controlled matter of sexual content of persons under 14. Needless to say, the guy was flabbergasted, and the affidavit on which the warrant is based is sealed by the court due to, quote, an ongoing investigation. They took the approximately $20,000 to $30,000 worth of computer equipment, including the souped-up 486 the board ran on, three 386s, including one that was shown at the time to contain nothing but his kids' games and schoolwork, 9 U.S. robotics modems, a scanner, a video camera, a 35mm camera, and 30 to 50 videotapes. They also took all business records relating to all 3 of his businesses. And according to this posting, which was by Mary Eisenhardt of the magazine Micro Times, they more or less turned the house upside down. Well, that's quite a story, and we have Robert Thomas on the phone with us. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Perhaps you can tell us something about, first of all, this bulletin board of yours. It was called Amateur Action. What was it all about?
Amateur Action BBS was basically started indifferent of the Playboy and Penthouse and the copyrighted violations scan material. I elected not to use that material. It's in violation of copyright. So I started Amateur Action to protect myself from those people and their material.
So basically the board contained pictures of an adult nature.
Yes, adult-oriented pictures.
I see. Now, how did you obtain these pictures?
The pictures, majority were obtained through a collection of photos and films that were a guy by the name of Peter DeCinci. And he was a very good friend of Russ Meyer in the adult film world. And Peter collected these films and photos and releases from back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And a good friend of mine got those when Peter died. He gave those, he willed those to him. And we used many of the photos and the nostalgia behind them to start my BBS.
I see. Now, how many users were there on your bulletin board?
Approximately 950 members.
I see. Now, for somebody to call up and obtain one of these pictures, just for sort of the technically minded, how would they go about doing this? How would they transpose them into pictures?
If somebody were to call to get a picture?
Right.
You couldn't just call to get a picture. First-time callers would not get a picture of anything. I did not offer anything on my bulletin board until the users were verified that they were of age. There was nothing available.
Okay, now when they passed the the Czech, I guess, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. How would they gain access to that material?
There was a database of picture files that I scanned personally myself of over 4,600 files that their security was raised and they would have access to any file they wanted.
And these are known as GIF files, I believe, right?
Yes, they're GIF files, yes.
Okay. And it's a rather common thing, is it not, to... how many boards are there like your board?
I would estimate there's thousands of boards like my board, adult material, across the United States and, worldwide, thousands and thousands of them.
I see. Now, what kind of precautions did you take to make sure that underage kids didn't get in to see these pictures and things like that?
Basically, 99% of all my members were Visa and MasterCard sign-ups, which means to have a Visa or MasterCard, you must be the age of 18. And I did call them. I did have some underage kids log on, and they do not get pictures if they're underage, and, right away with the Wildcat BBS program, the name and the phone number as well as the age comes on screen, and right away, if they're underage, I just knock them off right there.
And how often does that happen?
There was, quite a few underage try to get on there, but they would not get very far. My wife and I both were very, very good policemen, and if they got on, they would not get a picture anyway. They would have to join the BBS and be verified before they would get any adult material.
I see. Now, how long have you been running this this bulletin board for?
The bulletin board launched February 10th, 1991.
So just under a year.
Just under a year.
Now, you took, you're running this adult bulletin board. Does it have just pictures? Does it have more than pictures?
All we offer is pictures. We don't offer any shareware. There is a message base, of course, for users to correspond. But that's all that we offer.
I see. So, you were running this adult-oriented bulletin board. You were taking precautions to keep underage people and unauthorized users out. And yet, on January 20th, your home was raided by law enforcement officials who... what exactly did they say to you? Maybe you want to describe the entire situation to us.
What the law enforcement said to me?
Well, let's just take it from you sleeping peacefully and all of a sudden... how did they wake you up?
Yes, there was a knock at the door at approximately 7:30 a.m. and I looked out the little peephole, and there was police officers, and they identified themselves, and I ran back in the bedroom. I told my wife that the police were here, and she got her robe on and ran to the door, and they started banging on the door. Police officers let us in, and they were to the point they were just about ready to break the door down. She let them in, and they met me in the hallway, and I was in my pajamas, and they patted me down, and then went to the rear of the house, flashlights, possibly guns drawn too. I remember that vaguely, but I was about half asleep, and stormed into my kids' rooms, woke them up, and that's basically how they entered our household.
Well, that must have been a tremendous thrill for your kids to be woken up by armed police officers. How old are your kids?
They're 11 and 14.
So what happened after everybody was awake? Was there some sort of interrogation or anything like that?
Basically, they put the kids in my younger son's room, and they were playing a Nintendo game on the TV in there. We were at the dining room table. sitting there. The officers were asking us questions. They were going through our bedroom, and we could not see from where we were what they were doing. We had to ask permission to make a pot of coffee, to use the bathroom. The front door was wide open. It was very cold, and so on.
So how long were they in your house for?
They were in the house for approximately 5 hours.
And they took every bit of computer equipment that you had. Did they take other things as well?
Yes, they took every bit of computer equipment, including my children's computer. And they mentioned to the officers, they were with the officers in the room, and they said, there's nothing here except for our games and our schoolwork. They turned the computer on and showed the officers that there was just games and schoolwork. The officers turned the machine off and disconnected it, took it.
Did you ask what this was all about? Did they say any kind of information?
Yes, they gave us the, you know, the copy of the warrant coming in, and I read the first page of the warrant that listed grand theft and underage pictures and so forth, and immediately I said, you made a big mistake coming in here, very big mistake, as you'll find out.
What do you think grand theft is referring to?
I was not clear on that. You know, I was thinking maybe that they had that in there just in case any of my equipment was stolen, which it was purchased legally here in the Bay Area, and I have receipts to all that. And I've, you know, just recently got wind that, they were possibly referring to that I was advertising child pornography but not delivering it, which is absurd.
That would certainly be a twist of unknown proportions, that they would get somebody for something like that. Now, they said that you had pictures of people underage. Is that what they were accusing you of?
Yes, they were accusing me of that, which there is, you know, not anybody near underage. Everything on there is legal, 100%. And they went through the bedroom, which was where the BBS was, confiscated magazines and photos and whatnot. And you can kind of tell by their expressions by the time they came out into the living room area and dining room where we were, that they just had to look in their eyes like, we made a big mistake here. They had access to everything within the room, and there was nothing there. There was nothing on the BBS, nothing in my household. That's all I could say.
That's most incredible. You must have been completely surprised by all this.
I was very surprised by all this. You know, what a nice way to wake up on a holiday, especially the kids. I really, really felt for them, although I wasn't even allowed to be with them during this, although I was not under arrest. They advised us of that.
But you weren't allowed to move in your own house?
No.
Did they ask you any kinds of questions?
Yeah, they asked me questions for about 30 minutes. When they entered, an officer sat down on the sofa and he asked me some questions. And these were technical questions as far as my machines go. What does this machine have in it? The specs? Just real technical questions is what they asked me, which I thought was kind of funny. I don't know why they were asking that. At least he was, and the same officer did make a comment too that he would take good care of my equipment because he knew he knew the value and how much it meant to me, and he also made the comment that it would be safe because it would be in his office.
Oh, wonderful. Now, this bulletin board you were running, it was not the only thing that, it was not your livelihood, in other words.
No, it was not, no.
Can you describe for us what else they took from you?
They took, I'm in satellite TV and electronic repair, and they took records, brochures, items that I need to, you know, to pursue those businesses as well. They were confiscated too. Customer records for my satellite business and you name it.
So, in effect, they've put you out of business.
Basically, yes, they have put me out of business. We were just trying to do our taxes and get everything together for the year, and we can't even do that now. We have nothing, no records.
That is a frightening scenario here. Were you at all familiar, either before this or after this occurred, with the incidents 2 years ago involving Steve Jackson Games in Texas?
I was not aware of that. I had no idea what happened to Steve Jackson at all until what happened to me. I talked to some people, Mike Godwin, and I was informed of that. But the Steve Jackson case, I was not aware of.
For the benefit of our listeners, Steve Jackson was, still is, actually, a games manufacturer out of Austin, Texas. And his livelihood was seized and his company very nearly put out of business because it was suspected that a hacker worked for him. And it took quite a bit of time to straighten that out. In fact, Steve Jackson is currently suing the Secret Service for that particular incident. This sounds like a very similar, maybe even more of a scary kind of a situation, where we have a guy here who was running a bulletin board system of an adult nature, as well as other things from his home, all of which were completely legal. It is, I assume, legal in the state of California to do what you were doing.
Oh, yes, it was legal, yes. Everything that I had on my bulletin board and had within my household could be obtained within the state of California within just a few miles. Basically the same content, liquor store, adult bookstore, mm-hmm. Type of material, or in New York, the same thing applies. You could obtain it legally any place. Anybody could.
So because the authorities take a dim view of the kind of material that that you had in your bulletin board, you are in effect being punished right now. You have your businesses taken away from you, your kids have their computers taken away from them, and hundreds of users cannot access a computer bulletin board that was simply engaging in free speech. What has happened since the seizure of January 20th? Have they been in touch with you at all?
Yes, they have been. There has been no charges filed, and I was not arrested at the time of the seizure. The affidavit's been sealed by the court, so we don't have access to the reason why they even came in to do what they did. They are, they're trying now to make some deals, with us and so forth, but it's kind of a funny thing. It's kind of a bribery game, maybe.
Uh-huh. Now, when you first started this this board a year ago, did you have any idea something like this could happen?
No, I didn't. No, I was I'm good friends with a security man at Playboy magazine. His name is Neil Spotts. And I talked to Neil lots of times, and Neil has even been in my house, and he's looked at the, the material that I have, and some of the nostalgia behind Peter DeCinci's material. And he's even taken some of that back to Playboy magazine, because Peter provided Playboy with some of their stories, material, pictures, and so forth. And we have some original, you know, Playboy material that was Peter's property here. And, you know, he was just amazed. And he, you know, he called the Playboy Mansion from here. So that's basically what we, you know, what we had here.
Now, I'd like to ask you something. First of all, let me remind our listeners that the program is Off the Hook. We're on until 10 o'clock. We're speaking with Robert Thomas, system operator of a computer system out in California that was recently seized by the authorities for containing adult material on its hard disks and modems and things like that. You're welcome to give us a call and ask Robert any questions or make any comments that you feel are pertinent to this. Our number is 212-279-3400. We'll be going to the phones in just about 5 minutes, and we do have open lines. Now, Robert, let me ask you, if you were somebody who was not running the bulletin board and you heard about what happened in this particular case, do you think that might have... Let me rephrase that. If a year ago you had heard of somebody that this had happened to, would you have wanted to start your bulletin board? Do you think this is going to have a chilling effect on people?
I don't think it would have stopped me, no. I mean, you know, everybody knows the, you know, the rights from wrong, and if you're right, go ahead and do it. And if somebody says something, you must stand up for your rights as an American. You have your constitutional rights, and everybody, must stand up for them. Mm-hmm. And I would do it.
Well, you have quite a bit of conviction, then, and that's all fine and good. But do you think most people would actually put themselves on the line, put their businesses on the line, simply to make a point about free speech?
I don't think most people would, no. I think most people would be scared by it and not want to do it if it happened, you know, if they heard about a situation like that. But, you know, I've heard stories in the past, but I still did it in the state of California. Is the reason why that I did it. I felt that I was safe doing something like this, being that we have adult bookstores and you know, triple X material that you can buy at liquor stores in California. So I felt I was safe.
Well, there was a report a couple of days ago. First of all, there hasn't been any kind of press on this, I assume. No front page headlines out there.
No, there has not been any press out here about this at all.
Now, I had heard a couple of days ago it seemed as if you were going to get your equipment back, and then that fell through?
We were trying to get it back, demanding it back. That did not work.
They just haven't responded, or have they made promises that they haven't kept?
Well, it seems like everything changes day by day as far as the equipment goes. We wanted to get the kids' computer back, and they had to have time to get to go through it to make sure there was no contraband on it. The district attorney that was handling the case contacted my attorney, and they asked me to buy them a 400 megabyte hard disk because the budget would not allow them to buy it. There's budget problems in the city, the county.
Wait, they asked you to buy who a 400 meg hard drive?
The district attorney in San Jose, it's a Ms. Cynthia Sevely talked to my attorney and suggested that I buy them a 400 megabyte hard drive because governmental budget problems, they could not buy that hard drive, and it would take them weeks, if not months, to get authorization to buy the hard drive to analyze my equipment.
So in addition to coming into your home at 7 in the morning and taking over your computer equipment, now they're asking that you buy them additional equipment so they can go through all your stuff? Is that the understanding here?
That's exactly what happened. They asked for that hard drive, and I lost in excess of, $30,000 plus of equipment. And they asked for the hard drive to analyze the equipment, which is absurd as far as I'm concerned.
We just keep seeming to move on to new ground with these cases. Tell me, how is your family taking this?
They're doing very well. I have a very strong family, and they're very supportive of this, and it's, without them, I don't know what I'd do.
Uh-huh. How about the users of your computer system? Have they been told what has happened?
Yes, I've put an answering machine on my bulletin board line asking them to call another number, and the users have called, and even potential users have called, and they've, nothing but support. There's been phone calls from members that have been on the bulletin board for a matter of hours before it went down, and they called, and I offered to give their money back, send them a money order, whatever, a check, and they said, no, keep it for your defense. We support you 100%. That's the type of response I'm getting from these people.
That's great. Now, this might be a good time for you to give out any kind of information as far as phone numbers, addresses that you'd like people to contact you. And then we'll go to the phones. Our phone number is 212-279-3400. I think we have one or two lines open, so if people want to call in and speak with Robert Thomas and ask him any questions about what happened or make any kind of comments, perhaps offer some advice. Now, do you have some numbers or addresses?
Yes. If they want to contact myself or my wife, Carlene, anytime, you can call 408-263-2441, and we'll be glad to, support, advice to any computer users out there that want to protect their First Amendment rights. And the address is 142 North Milpitas Boulevard, Milpitas, California, 95035.
And for us New Yorkers, how do you spell your town?
It's M as in Mary, I L, P as in Paul, I T A S.
Okay, we'll be giving out that number and address at the end of the program as well. Program is Off the Hook. This is Emmanuel Goldstein speaking with Robert Thomas, a CISOP of yet another bulletin board that has been seized. This one, not a hacker bulletin board. This one, a board that contained adult information. You're welcome to give us a call, 212-279-3400. We're going to go to the phones and see who's out there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask Mr. Thomas. Are you there, Mr. Thomas?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay. I guess one of the questions I had would be, did you allow uploading of files by users?
No, I didn't, no.
Okay. Did you have on your board anything, any type of pornography, such as, let's say, sadistic sadomasochism, whatever you want to call it, anything like that?
No, I did not.
Because here's what I was thinking about the... What was happening. Now, with the credit cards, you said that what you did to check on the ages of the users, you give them a prompt to enter their age, and then you check to see whether the age is below whatever your cutoff is, and then if they are, you disconnect. If what's to stop a kid from, as kids are pretty smart, and from entering, you know, an age of 21, and if they know their parents' credit card information, which is usually just the number and the expiration date, how would your check stop a child from getting on?
How would it stop it?
Yeah. How? In other words, let's put the case of a child who knew his parents' credit card, got into the father's wallet or whatever, got the card number and the expiration date, and also when you prompted him for an age, put in an age like 22 or whatever. How would you be able to determine that that was actually an adult and not a child?
I would determine that when I phone verified him.
Oh, you phone verify, you phone them back.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense.
And that's, I might also add, is a lot more than a magazine like Playboy would do. A kid could do the exact same thing that you just mentioned.
I know.
Get somebody's credit card number, order a subscription for himself. They don't shut down Playboy for that, and nor should they.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing I wanted to mention about them coming in and grabbing the equipment. It sounds like they made a mistake on you, and you know they screwed up. But let's assume that there was another case or that they didn't make a mistake. The reason they have to grab the equipment is, first of all, you could theoretically delete the files, you know, anything that was, you know, questionable, or reformat the disk, and then the evidence is gone. And I think the reason they probably needed the hard disk or what they requested was they wanted to dump, to give you back your machine. I think what they probably would want to do would make an image dump of the disk onto another disk so that they would have a copy of the evidence. And that's my guess as to why they requested a disk. And you might be able to recommend to them that if you make a copy of the disk onto tape, and maybe they can give you copies, paper copies or Xerox, of the records you need, you might be able to get all your equipment back. It's just a thought.
But you know, you see, one of the major problems with the computer age is that there's so much more information contained about us and by us in a much more constricted space. So that if somebody is investigating you and they want to look at your computer, well, they see a whole lot more than what it is they were investigating in the first place. And that's why we have to be really careful as far as how much freedom we give law enforcement to come in and just copy our hard drives, because I don't know what it is that they might be looking for in a particular instance, but they're going to get so much more.
That's a very good point, definitely.
It's never happened like that before. You know, it has not happened before the age of computers.
Somebody has grabbed the machine, totally grabbed the machine, you mean?
Well, where they've grabbed your entire life. I mean, I'm sure Mr. Thomas has all kinds of things on his various computer systems, and so does the rest of his family, and now all of that is in the hands of the authorities, every single bit of it.
Yeah, well, that's because he's running a bulletin board, and they're probably thinking that they have to look in all places for evidence, and they don't want to give him a chance to, you know, delete the evidence. I mean, that's how the police would think about it, I would guess.
Right, but their search and seizure with computers is so much more broad-based. It covers everything, and it's a very scary thing to think about.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Our number is 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Great show. I'd like to ask you a question about a different bulletin board, okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, a lot of companies like, you know, AT&T. Advertise that they have, you know, digital fiber optic networks. But if that's the case, why do I still have to use a modem if I'm using US Sprint long distance to use a bulletin board?
Because you still have to communicate with the computer. It's not when they say they use digital connections, that's a type of circuitry they're using, but it's still going to translate to voice. It's not going to know that you're a computer. You need a modem to translate from the computer to the phone line.
Well, what is ISDN then? Will ISDN eliminate modems?
Well, I guess it's going to eliminate a lot of things that we're used to.
Oh, I see.
But that's something in the far future for us.
Okay, thank you.
All right. 212-279-3400, good evening. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, fine. I want to share something. I've received a book. And the book is called Terminal Compromise. It's Computer Terrorism, When Privacy and Freedom Are the Victims. the novel. It's a novel, and it's by a fellow named Wynn, W-I-N-N, Schwartau.
Right, he was a guest on this show a number of weeks ago, actually.
Oh, just an incredible book that he's written. And I suggest that at least half of this guy's problems can be dealt through this book. The book that he did, and I missed that show, I'm sorry. It's published by the Interpac Press, and the ISBN number is 0-962-870005. And I suggest it's copyrighted in 1991.
Well, could you tell Mr. Thomas and myself how he can be helped through this book?
I suspect the rationale behind their coming in and taking, and how they do it and why they do it. And more important, how they do it, how they're able to find out about his activities other than reading about it and in the newspaper or looking at another bulletin board. They probably have accessed his files in any case before they even came in there. And
You're saying that they already...
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm almost positive that's the case.
Well, if they already looked at everything, then what's the point of coming in?
They wanted the equipment. They're going back to the primary reason, and that's that they want the equipment.
They want the equipment, or they want to put him out of commission?
Well, either way, they're going to get the equipment. They've got his equipment now. And they'll hold on until hell freezes over.
Uh-huh. Robert, what do you think of that?
I believe that, actually, because I did have a bulletin. In my bulletins, I list the system specifications.
Sure.
And one of the officers, Steve Schwarzendruber, that was sitting on my sofa, he was asking me the specs of my system, what's this and what's that. It was almost like he was reading, from a copy of my bulletin that he captured of my stuff. And I think, I think that's right. I think they wanted something. None of the police, I believe, were members. I don't believe they had any files or any evidence of any criminal activity.
Obviously. Yeah. In any case, this book by Rush Wynn is just incredible. It's Terminal Compromise, Computer Terrorism, When Privacy and Freedom Are the Victims.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us all know about that.
Hey there, buddy, and I appreciate your show.
Okay. Our number is 212-279-3400. We're speaking with Robert Thomas, system operator of a bulletin board out in California that has been seized by the authorities, along with a number of other computer systems that were in his home. They take anything else besides computers? They take your phone, for instance?
No, they did not take the phone. There's some, lots of computer-related items they did not take. I had two LaserJet printers, or I had one in the room, not connected to the board, but to the two 386s in the room. Did not take that. They did not take the my backup power supplies. And they did not take the my boy's LaserJet either. But they did take, my wife's purses, a couple of them up in the closet. The old empty purses when, they have the old receipts and the money you fish out type purses.
Uh-huh.
Had up there. They took some, they listed, baby bottle nipples.
They took those?
Yes. Some underwear.
Why do you think they would take someone's underwear?
I have no idea.
This is turning into a very strange case here. And while it's nice that they left the LaserJet, I don't suppose it's doing you much good without a computer attached to it.
It's not doing much good at all. And, like I said before, by the time they got out in the living room, we had videotapes in the end tables that were for the kids, some Disney things and various other tapes. They did not even look, in the end tables. And they were told to seize all videotapes. There are some, some adult-oriented videotapes in a closet that they did not take. and in the garage they took, you know, some of Peter DeCinci's photos and film in boxes, and I had a film chain set up out there, 16 millimeter to video, video camera, super VHS set up on that. They did not take that film chain or the video camera, but they did pull the tape out of the camera, and you know, they did not take that, but they seized my 8 millimeter camera that I bought for my wife for Christmas. So, you know, lots of things do not make sense to me. Why they did this and they did not do that, I don't know.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go back to some listener phone calls. Again, our number is 212-279-3400. Whoops, my mistake. Good evening.
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, you know, what I'm wondering is, what really scary to me is that he's in his house and the police come in and they do all these things. And then they prevent him from being with his family, with his children. And my question is, what happens if you just stand up and you go towards the room that your children are in? What are they going to do?
Good question.
I tried that.
Okay.
I did. I stood up and I tried to move. And
what happened?
There's an officer right there and said, "Where are you going?" And I sat back down. And I asked him many times, how are my kids? Oh, they're fine. They're playing a game back there. And that's...
Right.
I tried to go back there.
You know, it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, it should. That should scare the hell out of all of us, and it should enrage all of us to see this kind of thing going on in 20th century North America, you know? I mean, this is the kind of thing you read about in, you know, Eastern Europe, but you don't expect it to happen here. Well, folks, it's happening here. Now, what are we going to do about it?
Really, I don't know, you know. I don't know. I'm a musician and a composer, and, you know, I've felt this as an artist, but now to see just normal, everyday, working people, you know, it's really scary.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, they'll get artists, you know, with cutting off funding if they don't like the kind of music or the kind of art you produce.
Right.
That's something you can survive. But when they come into your home and start seizing things because they don't like what it is you're saying or the kind of people that you talk to, that's going to go a lot further. It's going to really scare people that otherwise would be communicating in a very free and open manner, which is, I thought, what this country was supposed to be all about.
Oh, you know, and if being in California, it might be wise to get hold of some artists and musicians and have a concert about this.
Okay, well, that's an idea.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling. I don't know if having concerts is always the answer, but, you know, it can do some good, I suppose. Tell me, Robert, did they talk to your kids or your wife at all?
A little bit. They did.
Did they ask them any kinds of questions?
No, not really. They didn't ask them too much. Just, you know, in their room regarding the computer, you know, when they turned it on, their computer, and showed them there's just games in there, and you know, that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about all the conversation that they had with them.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello, go ahead. Yes, it's you, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Okay, I shut my radio down.
Okay.
I may have missed a tiny little bit of this, and I'd like to get some information. If I want to stir up invective or trouble with these people who did this atrocity, can I have a name or names and addresses to write to?
Well, we're giving out Mr. Thomas's address and phone number. It sounds like you want something more like an elected official kind of a thing. Is that right?
No, the cops, the people who did this.
Okay, which Robert, which police department was this? Where are they located?
It was the San Jose Police Department.
Can you spell that?
San Jose, S-A-N-J-O-S-E.
Okay. Yeah, and people.
You want to give us some names?
Yeah, the chief of police, okay, the San Jose Police Department, Here's the address for the police department.
Okay.
Is 201.
201.
West Mission Street.
West Mission.
San Jose, California.
Right.
95110.
110.
And the chief of police's name, his first name is Lewis, L-O-U-I-S.
Yeah.
And I'll spell last name, I cannot pronounce it. It's C-O-B, as in boy.
L-B.
A-R-R.
A-R-R.
U-V as in Victor. I-A-Z.
Quite a name.
Yep.
But he wasn't in, actually, he didn't come to your house, right?
No, no, he was issued a letter, from my attorney, as well as some other, some other officials.
As the chief of police, he's answerable for whatever it is that they do.
And can you tell me the date on which this happened?
Freedom Day.
It's January 20th, correct?
Yes, Dr. Freedom, or Dr. Martin Luther King.
This year?
Yes, 1992.
Wow. Okay. Some freedom, huh?
Yeah, and this has not really been publicized all that much out there. This is really the first press I believe this is getting.
Wow.
So hopefully BAI listeners can make a difference here.
Well, I will. I'm as the previous caller is, I'm also a composer and a musician, and I've had my share of police brutality, and it was brutal.
Uh-huh.
And I've been known to make waves.
Well, good for you. And let's hope we all create a giant wave and wave back at the authorities.
Yeah, I'm sorry that it's Robert Thomas, right?
Right.
Yeah, that he had to experience this in his family, and I hope that the kids, aren't shot to pieces by it, blown away by what's going on.
Okay, well, I'm sure your support will make a big difference. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
212-279-3400. Let's see how many calls we can get in the next 5 or 6 minutes. Good evening.
Yes, hi, Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just, even though it's probably not solicited, I really think the reason soiled underwear were seized is these people are going to allege he threw his bulletin board was some cockamamie adult erotica pitch was selling them through the mail using the bulletin board as the sales base.
Well, what do you think of that, Robert?
And it infuriates me that, right now he is totally, you mentioned everything is sealed off. Any kind of a case can be cooked up because it's all electronic. The same way you can electronically change, a picture. They can say things are in a bulletin board that aren't in a bulletin board. It boggles your mind. Right now, there's no rules of evidence anymore. It's electronic.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems that would be the only reason for taking those items. Physical evidence. This, Your Honor, is what he's been pitching he sells through the mail. And we have these samples that so-and-so did get by using his bulletin board. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out. The other thing is, BAI does now have a cutoff when the phone rings and rings. It's happened to me several times on Sunday.
Where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
It's not BAI. It's probably AT&T. Is that the company you're using?
I have no idea. It's Ridgewood, New Jersey.
Well, do you know what your long-distance company is?
I guess, I thought that would be an internal deal.
No, what you should do is call, it's a toll-free number, call 700-555-4141, and your long-distance company will identify itself. If it's AT&T, try using MCI or Sprint next time and see if they cut you off. If they don't, use them from now on.
All right, thank you very much. But again, just getting back to that, I don't want to turn it into a perverted call, but in an electronic age, it seems to me, how can this gentleman defend himself when what we're talking about is cyberspace or whatever, and
mm-hmm.
What happens if they do that? If they allege that, you see, Your Honor, in these plastic bags, these soiled underwear, undergarments, this gentleman was selling them.
Oh, you can change anything on a computer. You can change the dates. You can do all kinds of things. I just hope you're not giving them ideas.
turns into a matter of trust. Well, good luck anyway. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Any comments on that, Robert?
The underwear that were seized were not soiled. They were basically new that were taken. They were not used material.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him that they could probably do something, or once they have your equipment, they could probably put whatever they want into that equipment. With the date changes and so forth. And what could you say?
It might be a good idea for people to keep backup hard drives locked up in another location, because in your particular case, if you had everything, every bit of data that was seized stored away in a vault someplace, at least you would have access to it. At least if they did try tampering with data, you could say, well, look, here's clear evidence that this data has been tampered with. My copy doesn't say this. And also, if you were able to round up the equipment, you might actually be able to get back into business. It's sad to think that we have to take those extremes, not against failure of a computer, but against our own government. But apparently the day has arrived where we have to do that.
I think we do, yeah. I did have backup tapes. 99% of everything was backed up, although they took the backup tapes, too.
Yeah, that's the disadvantage of keeping the backups in the same location as the...
Right, but, I was thinking, too, if I went out and had to purchase more equipment after them taking $30,000 worth of it, restoring all the data and then have them come back in,
Uh-huh. You think they'd come right back and just take that again?
What do you do? Yeah. I mean, you don't know what they're up to.
Okay, let's take another phone call. Good evening.
Yes. Hi, good evening. This is an incredible show. I have a couple questions and a comment also. I'd like to hear something about whether he has an attorney and how his attorney has responded, and also what efforts he has made to get this into the mainstream media, the underground media, and international media. My comment is that as an African American, I don't wish to sound cynical, but we are so used to seeing government abridgment of our rights, such as in COINTELPRO. We have a political prisoner case coming up in Daruwa Ben-Wahad. We see how I mentioned COINTELPRO. We see how the court system deals with a second or a double standard of justice. I wish the brother a lot of luck, but this is something that we are used to daily in our community in terms of abridgment of First Amendment and constitutional rights. And I'll listen to his answers regarding the questions. Thank you for the show.
Thanks for calling. And a very good point, because lots of people do live with this kind of thing all the time. And if there's any good to come out of this, it's that a wider range of people are now seeing how abuses occur. Any comments on that?
I agree with that. In my opinion, the U.S. does not take it seriously enough. The racial issues, the First Amendment, you name it. The people do not stand up enough, I think, for their rights nowadays. We are all protected. Whether you're yellow, you're white, or black or whatever, we're all the same. We're all in one. We should all stand up for each other, and we have these rights. We have the constitutional rights,
mm-hmm.
And we should all protect one another and stand up for all these rights.
I think you've expressed that very well, and it's the point that I try to drive home here when I bring up cases of computer hackers being abused by the authorities or not being understood by the authorities, because we do have this threat, and whether it's somebody running an adult bulletin board, somebody who is exploring computer systems, or somebody who is being abused by the authorities in their daily life simply because of the color of their skin, We all have this common thread. We all have to stick together, stand up for each other, and realize where the true threats are coming from. Now, Robert, we are out of time, so I want to give you an opportunity to give out those numbers and addresses one more time. Again, this is Robert Thomas, system operator of a computer bulletin board system out in California that was containing adult information, and apparently the authorities took exception to that, used that as an excuse to raid his home of all computer equipment, shut down his other businesses, take his kid's computer that was used for schoolwork. So if people want to contact him or help out in any way, Robert will now give you the number and address.
Okay, the phone number you can contact me now. I'll be glad to talk to anybody. Area code 408-263-2441. If you want to write me, I can gladly send you information. The address is 142 North Miltitas Boulevard. It's M-I-L-T as in Paul, I-T-A-S Boulevard. Miltitas, California, 95035.
Okay, Robert, we wish you the best of luck. We'll certainly be keeping track of your case and updating listeners as things change. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and that's going to just about do it for Off the Hook tonight. We won't be back again next week, but we will be back the week after that. So until then, have yourselves a technically aware existence. Stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show.